We're talking with one of the committee chairmen, and may I have your name?
My name is Laura Burke, and I used to be chairman. I'm just a committee member now.
Do you know what this lighting of the lamps for the Olympics, how long has that been going on? The history behind it?
We started using seal oil lamps as the official opening of the Eskimo Olympics in 1966 when I was first chairman. And it goes with our culture and with the type of games and competition we have with the Alaska Natives. Also, I might add that these seal oil lamps, the lamps are seal oil lamps, and we have two out here tonight. Edith Dugosiak and another woman are going to be lighting the lamps using seal oil and using the moss, which is used as a wick to keep the flame burning. And they use a stick to, as they have done many centuries ago, to keep the moss burning. And this is the way they used to cook and light their homes and heat their homes. And this is a very strong cultural activity of the Eskimos, and we thought it was perfect for the keeping of our culture alive and strong during the Eskimo Olympics.
The people that are lighting the lamps, are they the same ones that have been doing it since the Olympics have started?
As long as we've used the lamps, yes. And that was in 66, as I mentioned before. We've had Edith Dugosiak out here just every year, and she's such an expert at it. And generally she's joined by one or two other members of different tribes. We had somebody, well, last year we had three. We had, I think, Pauline Carlo from the Athabascan tribe and Mrs. Sobolev from the Tlingit tribe. Unfortunately, I just walked in. I didn't have the opportunity to talk to Edith to find out who's sitting right next to her tonight. Wait a minute now.
Do you know where the lamps came from?
Yes. Fortunately, the University of Alaska Museum loaned those lamps to us tonight. We have our own Olympic lamps that Mr. Ron Sanungatuk, who is a professor of Native Arts and Crafts at the university, who made lamps for us, and he's out of town, unfortunately, so we had to borrow these lamps from the museum, and one is from Barrow, and the other is from Point Hope, and Edith Dugosiak is originally from Barrow, too.
Okay, thank you.
And with Dr. Going to dance for... before the hunters going out in the sea, out in the ocean with the kayak, and he was witch doctor dance for the good weather. He'd like to have a good weather for the hunters. Chester Lambie was a witch doctor, will dance for it.
The second dance is that the two men will come out dancing wearing the loon headgear. This is the very traditional headgear of the Northern Eskimo. And the dance expresses the wish that there will be lots of ugruk, which is the large bearded seal, and walrus. The dance will be danced by Pete Savalik and Donald Ashuak of Barrow. A good luck song.
Weather calms down. Two men go out hunting with kayaks. And this will be danced by Robert Olpianka and Herbert Ockrich.
We have one of the Barrow high kickers here, and what is your name?
Joshua Pick Jr.
Are all these games played here played the same way as in Barrow?
Yeah, it's deeply out here.
How often are these games played up there? I mean,
what?
How often do you guys play these games up in Barrow? How many times a year? Or
I don't know. Maybe out here when I was little.
Another special announcement. Thank you.
How long have you been playing, doing these games now?
Me?
Yeah.
About only 3 years. Mm.
What about some of the drummers here? Have they played this quite a few years?
No, a lot of years, long time ago. When they were, you know, old.
Sorry,
about little kid.
Do you have Olympics like this up there every year, or?
Yeah, every year. All year.
What time of the year do you have the biggest event there?
Around Christmas time and Happy New Year.
Do you have a lot of people go there to the village? From, could you name some of the villages that they come from?
Yeah.
Do it while you're young, kid. Because when you get as old as me, you can't kick very high. Seven foot 9, ladies and gentlemen. We're going for 7'10". We'll need a stepladder here pretty soon for the official. Running out of string, running out of pole. What we're gonna do, Reggie? Eight, ladies and gentlemen.
7'10".
Can he do it? You bet your bottom dollar he can do it. 7'10". Got to get good timing here, you'll notice. It's a pretty small object. Broke the record by 2 inches. Is he going for 7'11" or snake eyes? Seven comes 11. Wow. What did you eat for supper, Reggie? Mexican jumping beans? I would play too, wouldn't you? I'll give him a little breather. Let's go, my big hand. Gentlemen, the judge said he passed the mark, but he didn't touch it. Unofficially, he's over the 8-foot mark. Do you want to try another one?
Do I try another one?
Let's give him a big hand. I try. Reggie Jules, the new champion. He broke the record. 7 feet.
We're talking with a young gentleman here, and could you tell us your name and what did you just do?
Well, I just did the high kick, and my name is Reggie Jewell.
How long have you been kicking?
2 years now.
2 years. 2 years. Where did you first start kicking the high kick?
Point Hope, Alaska.
How long ago was that?
2 years ago, I think. About 2 years ago, I think.
Okay, the 1961 champ.
Could you tell us how to go about doing the high kick, the one you just did?
I mean, how it's done? Well, you hop on one leg and you kick at a suspended object, and you kick it with the same foot that you hopped on, and then after you've kicked, you land with that same foot. So everything's done with one foot. That's why they call it a one-legged high kick.
I appreciate it that the photographers would sit while they're taking the picture so you don't block the view of our paying attendant. Thank you. The next dance is the first part of Wolf Dance. First part of Wolf Dance. Thank you, gentlemen. You are very cooperative. next dance, the Charles Mayer song. Charles Mayer song.